Burning Fields, written by Ali Sinclair and read by Shiromi Arcidio.
Chapter 1. Rosie Stanton leant her forehead against the bus window and tried to convince herself she wasn't making the biggest mistake of her life. For 25 hours, she'd bumped in and out of potholes on the bus ride from Brisbane to Perry River, the lush Queensland countryside keeping her company as doubt persisted in muscling in on her. 1948 should have been a year full of possibilities for Rosie. But now, after the unexpected collapse of her life in Brisbane, this post-war world was one of uncertainty. And now she was returning home to the town she'd avoided for 3 years. Outside the window, sugarcane danced with a light breeze and fields stretched under an endless sky. The verdant landscape reminded her of an innocent childhood spent running through the fields, arms out wide, her brothers laughing and chasing. Time frayed memories but compounded heartache. Right now, all she could hope for was acceptance and understanding.
Oh.
A male voice from the back of the bus made her turn around. A tall fellow with broad shoulders and beautiful olive skin stood in the aisle, wiping his navy blue suit with a handkerchief. He directed a gentle smile at a young blonde mother who apologized profusely as she cradled her tiny baby. Judging by their polite interaction, they didn't know each other well.
You can't sit here, the distraught mother pointed at the seat next to her. It will ruin your suit.
It will wash, yes?
His thick accent made Rosie pay more attention.
I'm so sorry, the mother said, but the smell of baby vomit won't go away easily.
The child started crying and she held him close, making shushing noises. However, her heightened state of agitation made the baby cry louder.
Please.
He took the baby in his arms and sang quietly. Rosie couldn't make out the words, but they were possibly Italian, a language she often heard in Perry River when workers came into town. The baby stopped fussing and gazed at the man, fascinated. The mother reached for a small blanket and quickly wiped herself and the seat beside her. She stopped to take a few deep breaths and pushed a chunk of hair out of her eyes.
Thank you.
The man gave a quick nod before passing the dozing baby back to her. He glanced at the seat.
Perhaps I should move.
It might be a good idea, and again, I'm so sorry.
The man smiled, tipped his hat, and grabbed a battered leather bag from the overhead rack. He looked around the crowded bus, his eyes finally resting on the only spare seat, next to Rosie. She motioned for him to sit next to her. He made his way down the aisle, apologizing every time the bus went over a bump and he accidentally hit someone with his bag. A trail of people were left rubbing their arms or heads, but no one seemed to mind. The fellow, who appeared to be around 30, reached Rosie and went to place his bag in the jam-packed overhead rack. So he sat down, cumbersome bag on his lap, and positioned himself so half his body was in the aisle and not encroaching on her territory. Despite his efforts, the stench of baby vomit assailed her nostrils. Rosie turned to face him and noticed the veranda of black lashes accentuating the gold flecks in his brown eyes. His dark, wavy hair framed a handsome face with a strong jawline and an intriguing scar under his eye.
That was very nice what you did back there.
It is what any decent person would do.
Perhaps.
Her time in Brisbane had proven that people were capable of many things and not always good. They fell into silence and Rosie returned to staring out the window, surprised at how much she'd missed the familiar houses, the smooth bark of the gum trees, the sun dancing on Perry River as it snaked through the valleys and mountains. The rhythm of the bumping bus, coupled with the warmth of the setting sun, caused Rosie's eyelids to close.